You know, last week, Pastor Alex kicked off our new sermon series titled Summer in the Psalms. Following the longest chapter in Psalms and the longest chapter in the Bible, the 119th Psalm, the next 15 are known as the Psalms of Ascent. They were thought to be the songs that the Jewish pilgrims sang when they went up to Jerusalem for the feast that took place three times a year. Whoever made the selection chose four Psalms of David, one of Solomon, and the others are anonymous. The emphasis in this hymnal within a hymnal, and if you're not aware of the fact, the book of Psalms, much of it was the hymn book of the early church. But here in these 15 chapters, we sort of find a hymnal within a hymnal, and it's really about trusting God, even in the midst of danger, suffering, and trial. I invite you to look with me today at the second Psalm of Ascent. It is Psalm chapter 121. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, or the verses will be projected on the screen. Psalm chapter 121, there's eight verses. I will lift my eyes to the mountains. Some of the older versions say, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by night, nor the moon by day. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The psalmist began his pilgrimage journey on his ascent to Zion in Psalm chapter 120 by deciding he had remained long enough in the wrong place. Now in Psalm 121, he stood in what we believe was the Jericho Valley, which is 1,200 feet below sea level, and gazed towards the mountains. Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains, so he gazed upon what lay ahead before him. It was going to be a long, tough climb ahead. I was actually scheduled to be in Jerusalem today, but my trip was postponed with other members of the district presbytery due to the conflict in the Middle East. And one of my most memorable moments in my previous trip a number of years back was was our ascent to Jerusalem. The sun was beginning to set. It was the evening time, and the leader of our tour guide began to lead us in repeating some of the Psalms of ascent, and then we began to sing until the sun again was just about ready to set. And at that moment, suddenly we saw the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of David. And what a sight it was as the sun was setting on that city. You know, the travel log in our text is much different from mine and other modern travelers to the Holy Land. In today's message, we're going to look at four powerful promises the people of God claimed then and that we can claim today. Look again with me at verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Powerful promise number one that you can claim is this, that he will help you. That whatever you may be facing, whatever the circumstances of your life may be, whatever the diagnosis from the doctor, whatever grief you are going through, whatever relational strain that you may be experiencing, he will help you. This psalm opens with, I will lift up my eyes. And this is not the last time we're going to see this phrase in just 2 weeks. In Psalm chapter 123, we will see it there repeatedly. I have in the past misread the opening verse of this psalm. Dr. George Wood brings clarity to it in his commentary on Psalms. He says this, don't make the mistake of thinking, this verse 1 teaches you to that help comes from the hills or help comes from the mountain. Not so, the hills are against you. They're the problem, not the solution. Now, granted, there are many places in the Bible where hills or mountains represent the presence and the power and the activity of God, but not here. For the pilgrim traveler to Jerusalem, the mountains were filled with potential peril. The possibility of losing one's footing and breaking bones, the danger of being attacked by wild beasts, not to mention the possibility of sunstroke, physical fatigue, inadequate supplies of food and water, and the list goes on and on. Although the hazards are different today, such a list only raises the whole subject of the insecurities of life. Whether they're physical, whether they're mental, financial, or spiritual, to be overly concerned about any or all of these factors of everyday life can literally paralyze us. There's an old gospel song that asks two questions. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable? God, any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And he can do what no other power can do. That the words of that old gospel song really capture this Psalm chapter 1, verse Psalm 121. The psalmist advises us to lift up our eyes instead of being downcast. Verse 2 answers the question asked in verse 1, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And then he adds, the maker of heaven and earth. Perhaps you are facing an impossible situation in your life today. Your problems may appear to be as big as a mountain. Don't let the difficulty become bigger than your God. Instead, declare, my help comes from the Lord. Well, there's a second promise here. It's found in verse 3 and 4. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The second promise, he will steady you. He will steady you. Every hiker understands about losing your footing. Loose gravel, tired legs, a sharp turn can lead to a fall resulting in serious injury or even death. As I've got a little bit older, not real old, but just a little bit older, I have found that I'm watching my steps a little more closely than in the past, especially in unfamiliar places. Last fall, I was in El Salvador on a trip with Compassion International, and there was one day that we toured and saw various sites, and then the evening we were to hike up a mountain. It was really a volcano, and it was quite a hike to get to the top and to look into the volcano. And so I was watching my steps very carefully. Everyone on the team was younger than me, by the way. And some were trying to help me, and before I knew it, I was on the ground. And they were around trying to help pick me up. As careful as I was trying to be, I lost my footing. And while I was not hurt, I can tell you I was very embarrassed. You know, but there's another kind of slipping, and you may be slipping today. You may be slipping today into grief, into depression, into feelings of unworthiness. Are you saying to yourself, what's the use? I've tried and I've tried and it doesn't make any difference. I might just as well give up. I want to challenge you to hold unswervingly to this promise. He will not let your foot slip. He will steady you. Further, he does not slumber or sleep. He's on guard around the clock. When you sleep, he doesn't. David's words in Psalm 34:15 are quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. And Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you. Friend, let him study you. He will if you will let him. He is able. I love the doxologies of the Bible. Now, if you grew up in perhaps a more traditional church or a liturgical church, you know what I mean when I use the word doxology. For whatever reason, it always seemed to be sung during the offering, right before the offering or right after the receiving of the offering. It's a beautiful praise God from whom all blessings flow. It's a beautiful doxology. But what is a doxology? What does that mean? It's a short hymn or spoken expression of praise and glory to God. Doxa means glory or splendor, and logos means word or speaking in the original language. We find a beautiful doxology at the end of Jude, only one chapter there. That's the book just before the book of Revelation, where this book closes with, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling." Able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. The only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty forever and all authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Four powerful promises. He will help you. He will steady you. The third is found in verse 5 and 6. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He will watch over you. He will watch over you. The Lord is not just on his throne looking down on us. He is with us. He is able to shield us from all harm. This does not mean, writes Warren Wiersbe, that obedient believers may not find themselves in difficulty or danger, or that they will never feel physical or emotional pain. Now listen to this. The things God permits to happen to us in his will may hurt us, but they will never harm us. Yes, there's times we're going to go through hurt. We're going to go through temporary pain. If all the great men and women of the Bible and great men and women to this very day have experienced hurt. They've experienced situations and circumstances in their lives that have hurt them for a season but have not harmed them from an eternal perspective. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16 down through verse 18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on who? We fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." The psalmist proclaims, "The Lord is your shade at your right hand." So the sun will not harm you by day. He will protect us from the burning rays of the circumstances of our life, sort of like a spiritual sunscreen. When the circumstances just blaze down upon us, when it feels like we're in the furnace, he is there. Those who stand under the shadow of the hand of God stand under his protection. Elsewhere, David prays for God's protection. Psalm chapter 17, verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." Next he writes, "Nor the moon by night." Nor the moon by night. Now at that time, these travelers on the way to Jerusalem, it was extremely hot during the day. If you've been to that part of the world, you know that this is true. However, at nighttime, the temperatures plummet. And instead of being extremely hot, it can be extremely cold. Well, the message here is day or night, it doesn't make any difference. He is watching over his children 24/7. He is there for you. Well, there's another powerful promise. It's found in the final two verses of this great psalm. Look again at verse 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm, not all hurt, but the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. We have seen that the Lord will help us. The Lord will steady us. The Lord will watch over us. Here we see that He will protect us. He will protect us. The word watch is found here twice. But here it becomes all-encompassing. It becomes, He's going to keep us from all harm. He's going to watch over all of our life, our going out and our coming in. Several years ago, I was out of town, and I pulled into a convenience store, parked my car, and just as I was about to go in the double glass doors, I remembered that I had left my wallet in the car. My car was nearby in a parking stall, so I walked quickly. And just as I opened my car door, I heard a huge crash. A car had gone out of control in the parking lot. And I don't know if the driver was intoxicated. I was there with the police afterwards, but crashed right through the double doors and right into the convenience store. As I stood there that day and beheld what had taken place, it dawned on me if I had not left my wallet in the car. That's about where I would have been, standing just inside those doors where that car came to rest. I thought about that a number of times, and when out of town, I've driven by that convenience store, and it has served as a reminder to me. I am so thankful that God is watching over our coming and our going. And I'm so thankful on that day when I was clueless as to what was about to happen, that the Lord was watching over my coming and my going. But truthfully, if I had not left my wallet in the car, I may have been hurt or maybe even had lost my life, but I would not have experienced any eternal harm, would I? Because even worst case scenario, to be absent from the body is what? It's to be present with the Lord. Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain. Usually it's not until later that we really recognize God's protection. You may not understand how God spared you from harm until you have gained the perspective that can only come through time and distance. Remember, it wasn't until Easter morning that the preceding Friday was called good, or Good Friday. I want to share with you, as the worship team returns, I want to share with you two powerful verses of Scripture. The first is from Joseph. Joseph, not Joseph and Mary, but Joseph of the Old Testament. And you may be familiar with the story of Joseph. Even people who are not believers, don't know the Bible very well, they oftentimes know at least some of the story of Joseph. He was his father's favorite. He had the coat of many colors. He was hated by his brothers. He was somewhat braggadocious. There was things that God showed him that he told others that he probably should not have told them. He spoke out of turn in his youth. We know that when the brothers got him alone in a desert place, they decided they would get rid of him. They threw him in a pit with the idea that he would starve to death there. He would die of thirst in that pit. Later, some traders were coming through on their way to Egypt, that he was sold into slavery. And so he went into Egypt, and he rose to a place of authority. He was in the palace. He went from the palace, if you know the story, he was betrayed and ended back in prison. It was there that he was for some time, but God used him even in the prison. He used him in the palace. He also used him in the prison as well. And even those who said they would speak on his behalf, when they were released, they failed. 2 years passed. Eventually, he was released. And it had been many, many years, and suddenly there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And you may know the story. His brothers came to him, and he recognized them but they did not recognize him initially. As the story continues, he made himself known, and there was his father came to the land of Egypt, after his father Jacob had died, we know that his brothers came to Joseph and said, "Oh, by the way, just before Dad died, he said something. You weren't there, but this is what he said: don't mistreat us. You know, forgive us, treat us kind, all these kind of things." And the Bible tells us at that point that Joseph wept when he, because a long time ago he had forgiven his brothers. But in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says this. This is what Joseph says: "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." You know, Joseph experienced a lot of hurt, but it was all for a purpose. He did not experience eternal harm in any way. Everything that he went through, God had a purpose, and he had a plan to save a lot of people from starving. The second scripture I'd like to share as we close is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It is a wonderful promise of scripture. It may be underlined in your Bible or on your device. And we know that in all things, God works for the good to those who love him, to those who have been called according to his purpose. What a powerful promise that is. You know what these pilgrim travelers needed as they made their journey through the dangerous mountains to the city of Jerusalem? We need as well. Powerful promises indeed. I will help you, and I will steady you, and I will watch over you, and I will protect you. And while temporary hurt may enter our lives, it will not lead to eternal harm. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these powerful psalms of ascent, and for Psalm 121, the powerful promises we find there. I pray, Lord, for the one who needs to hear it desperately this morning, that they will hear your voice, that they will hear your word saying, "I will help you. I will help you." For the one who feels like they're about to slip. Maybe they feel like they're about to slip into sin or slip into a relationship that they should not be a part of, or they're about to slip into going online where they should not go, or they're just about to slip in their faith. Lord, may they hold to the promise and allow you to steady them, because you will do that. For the one who feels alone, may they know that you watch over them. For the one who feels vulnerable, may they know that you will protect them, and that you neither slumber nor do you sleep. You watch over us, even our lying down and our rising up and our going and our coming, Lord. Even at times when we may not necessarily feel or be aware of your presence, you are with us. And we thank you, Lord, for that promise. For your promises. Help us to claim them. Help us, Lord God, to stand upon them.